We're in lesson 31 in the book of Ephesians. And last week we left off in chapter 3, verse 20, and we'll pick up right there again. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now when we left off last lesson in that passage there, it's talking about the power working in us. And the power working in us is explained back in the chapters 1, 2, and 3 about the doctrinal stance we have. There's power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. But what did the power do? The power took the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and gave him life and gave him and set him on the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. That's power, isn't it? Very much power. And that power also brought victory to what seemed to be a defeat in the death of Lord Jesus Christ. You know, hey, he's dead. No, he's not dead. He's alive. And he gave life to death. And it gave, like what we talk about, gave beauty for ashes, if you will. And it's the power that brought victory over that seemingly defeat. You know, I think about the gospel, the grace of God, and the gospel of Christ, and the power that's in that, that if you believe that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, it brings you from a death state to eternal life. You stepped into eternity forever, your spirit and soul did. Now, you know, this body is breaking down, isn't it? And, you know, we look at it every day and you're like, I can't do what I did 15 minutes ago. we think, well, I can't do that. But, you know, so you set your mind and say, I can't do that, but I can do this. But your spirit and soul is a forever fed with the Word of God, and that's who you really are inside of that. That works. That power that works in us is not just there, as we looked at last week, to know about the great power that brought Jesus Christ from the dead and set him on the right hand of the Father. We know that power to be true and set him on far above principalities, places. It's not just raised him up above. It's far above those principalities and places. He's above the whole creation. And he's even above Satan, if you will. You know, when Satan fell, you know the story. He became the god of this world. And he also became the prince of power of the air, which he controls the first and second heaven. Well, there's another heaven above him, aren't they? Throne room of God. So Jesus Christ is set above, far above that. So that's authority that God the Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just you know and understand the details of that, which many of us do, and have it in our frame of reference, if you will, because you study the doctrine over and over. That's good to have that doctrine inside of you, isn't it? It's good to have that knowledge, because if somebody asked you some things, wouldn't it be only right to give him the words on the page that helped you out? So it's not all because of that you study doctrine and the power, but it's the power that works in us. And that working and moving in our lives. And it's working right now. You know, you think about it. It's inside of us every day. And it depends on how we tap into that. And I gave you some illustrations with some training guys last week that, you know, I probably shouldn't have, but I did anyway. But, you know, some of it's flesh. But if you got a responsibility to teach somebody, you want to teach them right, don't you guys? You know, if you got your business that you deal with, if you mess up one time because a guy or gal told you what to put on there, that don't look too good, does it? No. So you have to explain, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get this, this, this. Oh, okay, now I know, but I want this, this, this. And you can adjust, but you don't vary from the doctrine that you've been taught. Where is it working at, according to verse 20 there? What's the last two words in that?
In us.
The power of God worked today. It does not work in our out there in circumstances. Many of us, we're talking about religion systems, how we've been taught. We've been taught that circumstances makes a difference in a lot of our lives. You know, we look for signs. It's got to be a sign from God before I even do it. You know, we forget about these passages, don't we? You know, I'd be honest with you. There's times I'm looking for signs. Lord, if you want me to do this, and the wind blows the right way. It blows my hair from this side to that side. I'm like, that's where I wanted it. So, you know, God must be in it. You know, that type of thing. And you know the stories, and you've probably done it yourself. Lord, if you want me to be there on time, you'll turn that red light green. And you're braking at the same time, and you wait till, oh, it's green, and you take off again. You know how dangerous that is, by the way? When you're at a green red light, you better wait a couple seconds. You know, just count to yourself before you pull off, because you know old Speedy's coming through there, and they don't have no mind but getting to work or whatever the case may be. So just use that in caution. But God ain't in that type of stuff. He's not in that. He's not out there in situation, but he works where? What's the verse say? In us. And that vehicle whereby God works today is the church, the body of Christ, that you're going to find out in the next verse. And if his will and his program is to execute on the planet that we live on, it will be through the instrumentality of the church, the body of Christ, and influence in his ministry. That's the whole context of what we've read since chapter 2, verses 20, like 22 down to this point. We're individually in the body, correct? But also the body is the church. You're the church of the living God. And we need to influence, be an influence in its ministry. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might by his spirit. Where at? Where at? Now, what's the inner man? That's what's inside of you, right? That's that the third body. You're made up of spirit, soul, and body. So that's inside of you, and that's what builds that doctrine upside of you. Many of us has grown up to be, you build up on the outside first. You know, you want to look good, right? But you know what that verse that says?
Bodily
exercise profit what?
Nothing.
You can, very little. You can do this like this all day long. And you're like, whoa, you look good. That ain't the point. It's what's inside of you that matters. And he strengthens it. He's talking about the power that works in us. That power works in that inner man. Hold your finger and go to Philippians chapter 2. One book over. You're right. And there's a passage there where we need to be familiar with in this context. Chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Much fear and trembling. Now he's talking about being obedient. That's what he's talking about. And he's not talking about sitting down and figuring out how to get saved. See? Everywhere it says salvation don't mean necessarily you're going to lose it. Salvation is deliverance. You're working out your deliverance. How are you going to do that day by day? You stay in the Word, you get the doctrine in you, and you can understand circumstances. Once you're saved, guys. That's what we preach and teach here. That was the first initial salvation. You went from Adam to Christ. And when God sees a creation, he sees two type of people. He's those in Adam and those in Christ. That's all he sees. Then you work out your salvation in this daily, nasty now. We're working it out daily. You know, things come upon you that's not right, and you're working out that stuff. Then the ultimate salvation is when we're taken away out of here and the catching away. And that's the third. He's saying you have your salvation, now work it out, but this thing into practice. That's what you're going to do here. You're going to become obedient to the Word. You're going to be obedient to who you are in Christ and the doctrine, and you're going to work that out. Man, what a difference has it made in some of our lives when we make a decision based on who we are in the doctrine versus who we're not, or in the flesh. How many's made decisions in the flesh that, like, man, boy, I wish that crop would die. Plant something else next year. You know, I won't have to work so hard. But continue in verse 13. For it is God that which worketh in you both to will and to do what? His good pleasure. Not yours and I's good pleasures. You know, in the flesh, when you walk in the flesh, you know what you're walking under? law. Yeah. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get this. I'm going. That's a law system. When you walk in the Spirit, you're walking under grace. And it's His good pleasure. It's not what you and I care. It's not what you and I want. You know, and I know many of us want some good pleasure, don't we? You know, but it's not that. It's what His good pleasure is. And I mean, you think to yourself, whoa, this is serious now. I've got somebody to answer to.
That phrase there, work, doesn't actually mean work. It means your faith in believing what you know to be true.
That's what the verses we talk about. The Word of God works effectually in those that what? Believe. When you believe it, it's going to work if you let it work. And if you're some of you like me, you put a dampener on that. Say, nah, that's just that I've got to do something. You know, I've got to do this, this, this. And your inner man's like, no, no, no. It's this way. Listen to the words. And you're like, no, no, no. I'm going to listen to what I think about. And that's not working effectually in you. See, if you work from the inside out, a lot of this stuff we're in the world with and what we want in the world, you can work it out. You can get what you want, but you know how to do it the right way. You know, let's keep moving. How does God work in the believer? He works in the believers to will and do His good pleasure. How does God work the believer to do that? He does it through His what? Circumstances, right?
No.
Yeah, he don't? He works through His what?
Word,
guys. And gals, we got His Word. And the believer is obedient to verse 12. That's what it's talking about, to His Word. We got to stay in context with a lot of this. You know that? Many of us is in the past, we pick and choose verses to whatever we want to do. That's dangerous. And I'll share this with you. You know they got a Bible version for anything you want to do today? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Bible versions out there that if you want to make God a she, she's a she. You know, that's scary, isn't it? You know, if you don't want God in your Bible no more, scratch them out. They'll take it away. Take the blood. You know that. He does it as you take the doctrine of the Word of God. And that's very important. What's doctrine mean again?
Teaching.
Moses had doctrine, didn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, John the Baptist had doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ, as He walked on this earth, had doctrine. That's teachings. And if you look at 90% of the churches out there, they'll follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody know who Adrian Rogers is? You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I listen to him. He's dead, gone now. Sometimes I listen to him like, this man's got it. You know, you listen to some of his messages like, and he was talking about authority in the house and talking about authority of Jesus Christ. I'm like, this man's got this. You know, and the thing was, he was talking about people, and he used the verse, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. Who said that? And he talked about how important it was to follow that man. I'm like, whoa. You know, but next week he'll talk about something else. You know, that's the thing about it is, but you got to follow the doctrine that God set out today. And God, you know who Moses was again? He was the, we know him as the
lawgiver.
How important is that to the nation Israel?
Very important.
It's so important that when they asked the Lord Jesus Christ about divorce, what did He say? What did Moses tell you? You know, what did Moses tell you? He was the lawgiver. But God, through Paul, in the dispensation of grace, Paul is known as the grace giver. Is this grace given unto me? And I, whoa, this is serious. But everybody said, well, no, grace come at the cross. And we understand that things happen at the cross. That ain't the object here. The thing is that grace was dispensed through Paul to give to us today. So we need to follow some doctrines that was written for us. Not written for just anybody you want to. He does it, take the doctrine of the Word of God. Then God Almighty, the Spirit of God, through His Word, takes that Word and creates it in your heart and the will to do it. That desire that you have, that 'cause you know this Word now. I've listened to many of your testimonies. I listened to how whereas grace doctrines really affected your life and made some decisions that before you made some decisions in your religious world, in your religious system that wasn't pleasing, but you thought it was right, didn't you? You know, but now you know some doctrinal things today that should be very, very important to us. And many of you got grandchildren, right? Many of you got children, and you're like, oh man, they ain't gonna listen to me no more anyway. They never listened to me when I was growing up. But you got grandchildren, and when you hold them, you can teach them some words of God and words of Christ and encourage them through that. That's very, very important. Hopefully, the mothers and fathers say, stay away from Grandpa. You know, he's going to teach you some Bible, but stay away from him. Hopefully that don't happen. But some cases it does. You know that? In some families and stuff. And that's sad. But listen, you stay true with who you are in Christ, and you give them the words of God, and you back it up with the words of God. And that determination to do it, and you understand that. Don't misunderstand that verse as he says, the man does not have a will. The function of his soul, that's what it is, to choose to do something or not to do it. You do have a choice. And that is not what it's talking about that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Second Timothy 3:12, where it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? People that determine to live godly in Christ Jesus, people that make up their own mind to do and get it out, get it from where? It's not there. It's not that you're going to, well, let me back up a minute. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer what?
Persecution.
You're going to suffer persecution. If you live right according to the will of God, you're going to suffer persecution. You'll suffer persecutions with other Christians living this way. You know, that's sad, but it's true. But where does it come from in you?
Christ.
You did not generate that. You're on your own, did you? You know better now. How is it generated? I know how it's generated by watching the Cleveland Browns or the Indians win, right? Oh. Boy, that works inside of you, and it just, man, that doctrine just, yeah, you're ready to fight. Okay. Or listen to nightly news, or listen to people like Russ, or reading magazines. That's where that doctrine generates inside of you, isn't it? You know I'm being foolish. But you know people out there will use that to be their Bible, use that to be their doctrine, and live by that? For every word that comes out of those people with mouths and stuff, it's how you generate and will to serve the God. What do those things do? The ones I just mentioned.
Distract you.
They'll tear you down. They'll keep you so mixed up. You know what's going on in the world today. You know, some of that stuff makes me sick. To watch the same old thing over and over, tearing somebody down, and every channel that you turn on, it's like the same old thing. You know, I'm like, man, I'm sick of that stuff. Don't they know who they are in Christ? You know, chances are they don't, do they? You know, it's all about the almighty dollar and what they can generate and all that stuff. I'm serious, guys. You know, it just tears me up sometimes how people can just be totally ignorant of truth, of who they are in Christ first versus who they want to be in the flesh. And that stuff in that flesh is very powerful. Very powerful. You tear it down. What generates the desire and the determination to serve God in your life? What does that? It's taking the Word and taking in a doctrine is what does it. Try that sometime. When I get tore up watching, you know, Hillary this, and if you don't mind me saying that, or Trump this, or, you know, now it's Louisiana, and, you know, all that stuff, and you watch all this stuff, and you know, I hear that Bush calls that down there in Louisiana this week. His money created the water to flow that way to destroy Baton Rouge. I had a brother tell me that. And I'm like, what in the world are you thinking? But people think that way, don't they?
Yeah.
So you know, you got to back up and say, okay, I want to tap in who you really are. That's the issue. Let's forget about the flesh. But God don't work that way. He don't work on that stuff. He works in the inner man, and that is where God works to will and do His good pleasure. Now, isn't it exciting that when we do the will of God, and we're in the will of God, which you are, whether you like it or not, you know, you're here today, that type of thing. Isn't it good to know that you can have good pleasure? Yeah. You know, God wants you to be happy. He don't want you to be miserable. Christians down here, you know, working every day and sweating and not getting no pleasure out of it. That's not what He's talking about. It's how. Excuse me. That is how it's accomplished in the inner man. Notice how it works in Ephesians chapter 3. Why is it that God shares His power with us in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20? Why is it that God is able to share this wonderful power with us and allow it to work in us? Verse 21 tells. What does it say? Unto what? Him be the glory in where? Our own bodies. In our own personal circumstances. In what? The church. There's a reason why He does it this way. He does it to get glory for Himself in the church. Now, let me ask you this. Isn't it possible we come here and get glory in ourselves in the church? Could we not sit here and talk about how good we are and what we're doing in ourselves in the church? It's possible. You know, it's very possible. But think about it. Continue in verse 21. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What you do in His power today will glorify Christ throughout all ages, world without end. What we do right now, being edified in the body of Christ, in the church today, will magnify Jesus Christ, world without end. Now grant you, there's people out there we know don't have a church to come together with, do they? And they're stuck in remote locations, and they don't have a body of believer. They can come, but they go on the internet and listen to some brothers out there and all that stuff. I'm not saying anything about that. But the fact is, this has to do with the church. And the church is a called out assembly. Every one of them was called out of a wilderness out there, if you will. And sometimes that word world is translated in your Bible when sometimes it's translated as ages. And I'm not going to put the Greek back in the English and vice versa. But when it's translated world, it's translated like the world tomorrow or the world yesterday, and it's talking about an age. And when we use the word world that way, it's a legitimate use of it. But the word, the Greek word eons, you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Eons and eons. You know, that's out there, ages and ages and ages. Is that a Star Trek word? You know, they used eon, didn't they? Some of them did or whatever. Throughout ages and ages without end. It's talking about throughout the ages of the ages. And there are people out there says, well, when He talks about the ages of the ages, sooner or later, no matter how many you are, you put up there, they're going to come an end to that. But we're shaking our heads, no. And is there an idea of that's the idea of universal reconciliation, if many of you know what I'm talking about. They'll say, well, there'll be a point out here when it all comes to end and everybody gets reconciled. Because there's an end of ages. Paul talks about the fullness of the dispensation, the fullness of what? Times. The Bible talks about ages to come. That don't stop. You know, I'm scratching my head thinking, age to come. It don't say that. Ages to come. It's just going to magnify and keep magnifying and keep magnifying for God for eternity. Does eternity stop? You know what an evergreen is?
Yeah. It's a tree that's evergreen.
You know why it's evergreen? You know why they call it evergreen?
It's always green.
Always green. I'm driving down the road thinking, wow, that's like eternity. It's evermore. It's evergreen. And then even in a dark harvest days and everything's dead, it's still green. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, wow. I think way too much. But look, but if you notice that it says throughout all ages, world without what?
End.
That age don't end. So the eon can't end. Turn to Luke chapter 1 right quick. Luke chapter 1. Let's look at a verse that might show us the word ages. Luke chapter 1. Some of you might say, well, the word eon, if you will, doesn't mean eternity, and it doesn't mean forever. And you know how people will say that they don't have any concept of eternity and all that kind of business. You know, that's what I've just shared with you. In a way, you know, think about that evergreen. It's forever green. You'll find, you know, people going on and putting the Greek back in the language and all that stuff, and the Greek mindset and the culture, and go forward. And philosophy looks at the word this. You know, man's brain is very special. You know that? We got a mind that we can figure out anything and everything. But it's got to line up with the Word of God. And when you find people going back and using those techniques to deny your Bible and deny the truth of the Word of God, you need to understand these people, what they're doing. And many of us do. We're like, uh-oh, I know where you're going with this. You know, so you just be prepared how to answer people. Right? You just got to say, okay, I know people like you, but this is what the Bible says. And people will do those things a lot of times, and they'll have axes to grind, if you will, and points to make. And there's always a nut that will fit on every bolt, aren't they? We know that. But what I tell you to go?
Luke chapter
1, verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for just an age. And his kingdom shall, there shall what? There's no end. How long is the eon again? Forever. There you go. How long is it? Forever. Are they an end? The Bible says they're not. You see that? There is none. And that verse defines for you how long an eon is and how long it is again?
Forever.
And it's just until the age completes themselves. That's not true either, is it? It's going to last forever. Hey, when God creates something and it does, it's going to last forever. And when you make a choice whether you want to live eternally with Christ or eternally without Christ, you're going to live forever. The people that die and going to die without Christ in their life, they're going to live forever. That's sad, isn't it? Without Christ.
Well,
let me put that way. It's great news with Christ. But these people out here that's going to be cast in a lake of fire, it's going to burn forever. You know the verse that says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire never quenches the worm done. It says it three times. That's a process. And that fire is going to refine them, and all they're going to be is a bunch of maggots out there burning forever, living forever out there. Out. So don't forget those verses, because you are going to need that sometimes when you're dealing with some people on this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Unto him, that's unto God the Father, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The greatest ministry that the church is going to have is yet ahead of us.
Is yet what?
Is ahead of us. It is future. Because you're making an impact today out there in the heavenly places. That's exciting, guys. Mm-hmm. I know you make an impact every day when you deal with people downtown. And you impact with people in the real estate or whatever the case may be. It's impacting them, but it's now, isn't it? But it also could affect them work in the future. Because like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I didn't know this, that, you know, that type of thing. You're like, yes, you did. You know, it's right here in the books. So you can affect people. We affect people. However, wonder how God gets any glory out of the ministry right now. You ever thought about that? Oh, in the world, he looks at, look at this bunch. And you're like, how does God get any glory out there in the future? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Where was it? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it to the what?
Glory of God.
The glory of God. That's a good thing, because if you think about it, have you ever gone out around just doing that? No, you know, I mean, you think about it. Am I going to go out there and eat for all the glory of God? If I'm going out there and drink all the glory of God, I'm going, you know, have a good time for glory of God. It's good to know that, isn't it? You know, because if you got that inside of you, it is going to make a difference to do everything you do to the glory of God. Every once in a while, you'll slip up and try to do everything for glory of God. If you think about it, you'll try to do everything for the glory of God. But that's not what that's saying. And the thing is you're going to do everything. So, how can I do that? Let me back up and say that right. Some of those rare occasions, if you will, when you slip up and try to do it for the glory of God, you know, like Sherry washed dishes this morning, because I mentioned, you know, last week when I made breakfast, before I made breakfast, I cleaned up all the dishes before I made breakfast. And then I made breakfast and I cleaned up other two. You know, yeah, that was awesome. So she jumps in there. Was she doing the glory of God, or she's doing the glory for Edward? I think she did it for the glory of God, because she knows who she is in Christ, and she just jumped in there and did it. You know, I told her it would took me twice as long to do those dishes than it did her. She knocked them out in like 10 minutes. They was gone. It took me 25 for the food to cook.
She's that good.
You know, she's great. But there's some things, I'm going to pick on her a little bit. She does it for the glory of God, whether I like it or not, or whether she does it or not.
Does she really do it for the... does she really realize she's doing it for the glory of God, or is it just a function
that a woman should do?
Yeah.
Shame on you. Get him. Sick him. Sick him.
Okay. I think sometimes we do a lot of things without knowing it's to the glory of God. That was my point.
Well, what does verse 32 say? Let's look at this. Next verse says, give none what? Offense. Have you ever noticed that when you are doing it just for the Lord and trying to do it, or just do it for Him and His glory, how often people just rub the wrong way and they get mad at the offense it is to them? I could have got offended with what she did. How dare you get up there in our kitchen and clean those dishes before I even finish cooking? That's an offense. But to answer your question, Walt, I know my wife, she does a lot to the glory of God. She don't care if it pleases me or not, because when she pleases God, it's going to please me, because she loves the Lord more than she loves me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
My point was basically that I think we do, not just women, but men too, we do things without thinking that we're doing it to the glory of God. We just do it.
Okay, that's because if you know the doctrine inside of you, you're going to do it, then made to do it. That's why I said early in the thing is, if you want to do it, if you're going to try to do it to get pleasure out of pleasing God, you may slip up and do something wrong.
Right.
And then you're going to say, well, I'm just doing it for the glory of God. But look, yay.
You're doing it for accolades. If I wanted you to put me on a pedestal this morning because I did the dishes, I would be doing it for my own glory. Like if I wanted to get something for doing that.
Right. And you know that didn't work.
No.
Okay, very good.
That's why you do
it. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, you know, because, you know, I'm like, I could say, that's your job, woman. You know, you're the keeper of the house. But I didn't do that. She jumped in there and took care of it, and I thanked her for it. And by thanking for her doing that, you know, she I'm sure she praised God in her heart. She didn't turn and took that skillet against my head, which you know very well could. But look, but the thing is, the verse we quoted a while ago, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, that guy wants to just give God the glory in all things shall suffer in what?
Persecution.
If you're going to do it for the glory of God, you're going to suffer persecution. If she got up there and did those dishes, knowing who she was in Christ, knowing that she's going to get glory of God, and I'm sitting there saying, you know, get out of my kitchen, or why ain't you doing this, and why ain't you doing that? She's going to suffer persecution. And she can by me. And you guys wasn't there. But look, what kind of glory does God give when you suffer persecution? Does the world fall down and say, glory to God? You see that not to be true today. Mm-hmm. Does it say hallelujah? No, it's just backbiting and the reproaches involved in it. That's where they go to. Give God your glory. What's God doing in your life? You know, you think about those floods and stuff going down on the southern states right now. You think anybody's giving glory to God that don't know God? No, they're not. You know, they want to know why you're not down there giving them water and bailing out their basements. That's what they want. You understand how it could use that verse right there to compromise and say, well, I want to do it all for the glory of God. So, you know, let's not rock the boat, if you will, and not take a stand for this and stand for that. You got to take a stand in the doctrine if you want to have the glory of God. That's what God's doing.
So is this a good example? It's happened twice in my job where I was having to deal with a customer, and twice two co-workers together have just said to me, why don't you just lie to them? Just tell them this. And my answer both times was this. You know what? You can lie to a human being and they'll believe you, but at the end of the day, I have to deal with the one that died for me, so I choose just to tell the truth. Deal with consequences that way. So just blank stare. They don't understand
right.
But you just have to take a stand for doing it because of who you are in Christ.
And you're going to face that in your personal ministry. We will face it as a church. You know, was your church stand for? Oh, they're dispensationalists. They believe a King James Bible. They believe grace through faith plus nothing else. You mean you don't work? You know, for your salvation, you know, and you're like, nope. Here's a doctrinal statement. Look at the Bible verses. And all. So the thing is when you go out and do what you do for the Lord, and you do it for the best, you do it by the book. That's where you go back to. Yeah, you could lie about this and lie about that, but where's your integrity? Where's who you are in Christ lining up? Of who you are, but the world is not going to appreciate that.
No.
They're not going to like what you stand for, guys.
They don't appreciate it or understand it.
So what? Their minds are blind, aren't they? And their ears are deaf, and their mouth is dumb, and they can't speak, and they can't hear. And so what you got to do? You got to give them the gospel. Say, let me share something. Are you saved? Because I'm convinced of this. If you're truly saved and you believe the Word of God rightly divided, you'll make better decisions than you ever did in your whole life. And you won't let people influence you, brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts, influence you in some decisions we make. Boy, have you ever been influenced? I have. Hey, I grew up without a dad. I was influenced by a lot of people, okay? And it wasn't good. So my mom, she took the role of the dad, She made it right, whether you did it or not. You know, she, you know, I went to school many times with a strap across my back because I didn't do what's right the night before. You know what I mean? I'm serious. And I look back at that and I could be just like her. In some ways I am just like her. But you know, the thing is that influence, you can be influenced by the wrong type of people around you, but you don't get influenced because now you know the truth. You don't backpedal and say, well, I'm going to let that slide right now because it's much better to have friends over here than to be over here by yourself. You know, you're never by yourself.
Amen.
You know, in your worstest moment, in your house or driving down the road and you're looking around, oh, it's creepy, I'm by myself. You're not by yourself. You look behind you and I'll see you guys. You know, that might scare a lot of people, but don't me. Because you know what? It's the church is the issue. And we're individually, it's in this church with bodies. And when you go out there and you do what the Lord does, that the world don't appreciate that. And they're going to hate you and despise you and mock you and persecute you. And they say, well, Lord, I thought I was doing, and you're saying, I thought I was doing the glory of God. I thought I was doing this. I thought I was doing that. And if you don't understand what that means, and when you talk about doing the glory for God, of God, you don't understand that the greatest ministry that we have is yet future out there. That's the issue here. And you're never going to get past those verses if you don't understand that. The impact that you make right now is an impact that's going to be down the road. You've heard that all your life in politics. All the policies signed today ain't going to go into effect 10 years from now. And you know, 10 years come, you done forgot about that, what you signed years and years ago. You're like, why is my taxes lower? Why I got a free check in the mail? Oh, it's that, well, we signed 10 years ago. But 2 Thessalonians, I'm getting ready to close. 2 Thessalonians. Verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll get it right in a minute.
You can have that right side by side.
What verse?
2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you, and yet Him, and you, excuse me, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You go out there and you do the work of faith but with power. And you do know how much glory you're getting, going to get out in the world. You know how much you're going to get, right?
None.
Neil, right. You won't get much. Then what does he talk about here is how is God going to glorify in your ministry and in your life. And you do remember Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
You know, when you take that realm of doctrine and that information that you get inside of you, and you need to keep it in your mind and in your conscience and in your thoughts about the glorification Lord Jesus Christ is going to give us and that participation in that glorification in ages to come. I know so much of us right now, what, you know, our kids, you ever notice your kids want the same thing you got right now? You ever notice that? And for some reason, we fed them that. Yeah, now you want what they got. Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, well, I like to live where they live. You know? But yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just like they won't wait. You want it now. But you keep the mindset of who we are in Christ Jesus today and how it's going to affect out there in eternity. It's going to make a difference how we think and move forward from here on out. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.